Today, Christians are facing challenges in homeless ministry. In 2023, homelessness reached its highest level since reporting began in 2007, even affecting families with children, unaccompanied youth, and the elderly. Homeless ministries require long-term commitment and support, not quick fixes. Pastor Jim Yates advises taking manageable steps when building a homeless ministry. Read the full article, Compassion, It's a Messy Business, by me, Jordan Chambly, on thestand.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I am sitting across the table from a long-lost guest, and that is my wife, Debbie.
The Debster.
Debbie, yes. How long has it been since you've been with me?
Based on my notes that I'm looking at, it was right before Christmas.
So a long time.
Yes.
A long time. Well, we're glad.
We've been fighting illness. I mean, we're both kind of nasally still.
That's true.
Yeah, you were gracious enough to share yours with me.
Well,
that's
yes.
What we do. We're one.
Yes, we share.
Yes.
So, great to have you. I know our listeners love it when you're on the program.
That's kind. Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And so Wednesday has typically been your day to come on. And so we want to talk today about what to do when you disagree, when you have a seemingly unresolvable conflict in marriage. This is what the scripture says in Ephesians 4. And it says, beginning in verse 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Such great commands and counsel from the Lord in that passage of Scripture that really speaks to what we're going to talk about today. What do you do when, as husband and wife, you don't agree and there doesn't seem to be a way of resolving an issue?
Well, I think you can have unresolvable issues that are on different levels. So the little minor unresolvable issues aren't as difficult to kind of gloss over. But when you get to a really big decision that has to be made in your family, or another big issue that has to do with, you know, just major differences of opinion, those can really be hard to bridge that gap. Now, I know that in our marriage, we've been very fortunate that we have not encountered that very often. But I remember speaking to so many people during the whole COVID debacle. And if there was such tension and issues within the home when the husband and wife were in complete disagreement on the validity of getting a shot. Mm-hmm. And it caused a lot of conflict because each felt very strongly about their position. And neither were willing to bend or to give because, hey, this is my body that we're talking about. You're not going to convince me to get a shot if I don't want to get a shot. I'm not going to be able to convince you. And so it did cause quite a bit of conflict.
Well, it really did. And, you know, when you hit some of those things, I'm looking at an article that was written, it was published by Focus on the Family by Terry Reiser, and along with her husband, Dr. Paul Reiser. And she entitles the article, When Couples Have Unresolvable Marriage Conflicts. And she said, what are those? Well, she said they can be trivial and profound. So she lists some of these. The husband feels their children should be homeschooled, but the wife embraces public education. Okay,
that's a big one.
That's a huge one. The wife wants to spend every Thanksgiving with her extended family, but the husband finds their conversations loud and boring. That's pretty common. I hate to say it, but it...
Well, because you want to be with your family of origin
right.
during the holidays, yeah,
if
usually.
If some unexpected money comes their way, he wants to spend it while she wants to save it. I think about that the couple that early in their... He was a spender, she was a saver, and early in their marriage, they had like $5 in their checking account, and he wanted to go to the dollar movie. He
right.
said, we got money to go to the dollar movie and get a popcorn. She's like, good night. We're down to our last $5, and you're wanting to spend it. She likes music in church played by a worship band, but he wants to sing from a hymnal accompanied by a pipe organ. So their styles of worship. You and I differ on our styles of music.
Definitely.
And I like older stuff uh-huh. and hymns and the Gaithers and that kind of thing. And you like all the contemporary.
Right.
And so, yeah, disagreements. And some can be trivial and you can just say, okay, we can agree to disagree, not any big deal. But when they're profound concerning homeschooling or public education, what are we going to do with our kids? If the husband says, hey, wife, I want you to stay home with our children and raise them, and she wants to go back to work, or she doesn't want to go back to work, and he's pushing her to do that, that can create a major conflict.
Well, and the article goes on to talk about the fact that you kind of, in your marriage, end up having the same argument over and over and over again mm-hmm. about the same core issue. So let's just go back to the homeschooled versus the public education. It's like, okay, the woman doesn't feel adequately equipped to be able to homeschool her kids. That whole idea is just completely overwhelming to her. She doesn't feel comfortable doing it. Chances are, within the course of their marriage, they're going to come back to those same kinds of issues. And it may not be the topic of homeschooling. It may be something else that the husband is requesting her to do, wanting her to do, desiring her to do, pressuring her to do that she feels inadequate to do. And so it can be, even though the topics may be different, oftentimes those unresolved issues go back to the same root cause.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, the biggest thing to do when you're having this major disagreement is to sit down and talk.
Right. And that can be very difficult.
Right. Because, as you said, if you've talked about it before and it just creates more conflict and hurt feelings and anger, and it's like, that topic is off limits, but it's still there. So you throw a sheet on that and it doesn't go away. So if he still feels that the kids should be homeschooled and she just doesn't feel up to the task or doesn't want to do it or whatever, we'll not ever talk about that, but the issue doesn't go away. He's still seething that we're not homeschooling our kids,
right.
And she still knows he's upset about it, but she's digging in her heels and doesn't want to do it. So,
you know, I was thinking back, I think if I look back on our marriage, and you may have a different view of this than I do, but when I look back on our marriage, one of the things, the topics of conflict between us that has been recurring almost always in my view has gone back to me not wanting to give up control.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first real fight we ever had was on our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was over the fact that you felt I was usurping your role
right.
as being the leader of the home. And I was completely oblivious that I was doing that. But as I have grown in the Lord and as I have learned to surrender more and more to Him, those arguments and that sense of losing control or losing power and being submissive, those issues have been easier for me to deal with. But that has been a recurring theme. And so when we do get in a position where we disagree about something, I have to always go back and check my heart. Like, okay, wait a minute. At the core of this, this, is this a control thing for me? Because I'm wanting to be in control of it and not trusting your leadership in it. Mm-hmm. I have to always go back to that. And I would not have the wherewithal to do that had I have not been over these past close to 40 years in the Word, wanting to more than submit to you, submit to the Lord, uh-huh. and really being surrendered to Him and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me those things in me that I need to change. And I don't know, you may see different conflicts we've had from a different vantage point, but from my vantage point, that's kind of the root in me that has been the source of some of those things.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, it says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. So, you know, if your husband is asking you to do something that's not immoral, doesn't go against the Word of God, you know, it's think about it, driving the car, you know, he wants to go left and you want to go right. Left is not sin necessarily. It's just a different way to get there, mm-hmm. to the destination. And so you have to say, okay, what's my job as a wife? Well, it's to respect her husband and to submit herself to her husband. And if he's not asking her to do something, like I said, that's sinful or immoral, she needs to say, okay, I'll do it, even if I don't agree with it. Now, I think she can appeal to him and just say, hey, what about this, this, and this? Maybe we're not seeing this, you know, fully. Maybe it has to do with spending money, because that can be a big source of conflict. You know, he wants to put all his eggs in one basket in the stock market or something like that, and she's very security-minded, and she's like, I don't want to do that. But she doesn't want to fight him, but yet she can appeal and say, I'm very uncomfortable with that. Could we come up with a compromise? And, you know, I think that's definitely legit. And a wife needs to not just, you know, sweep it under the rug and I'm really bothered about this, but I'm supposed to just submit, so I'm just going to swallow this, you know, bitter pill, so to speak. That's not going to work, because eventually
it's going to erupt.
Yeah, you sweep it under the rug, and pretty soon the rug can't hold everything you've swept under it, mm-hmm. and it comes out.
Well, and I think too with men, you know, you are called and challenged and commanded in the Word of God to love your wife. Love your wife, mm-hmm. love your wife. And that means to cherish her and to protect her and to lead her in such a way that you put her needs above your own. It's a sacrificial kind of love. And I think that for men, women respond to that so well. Mm-hmm. So if in a unresolved type issue, if you are still showing love by listening and by seeking her counsel in something, and maybe not doing ultimately what she has said she wants to do, but with an open mind and heart, listening to her, that can make a huge huge difference in terms of being able to resolve things, or at least come to a place where, without animosity, we're able to agree to disagree.
Right. And you may have to get there, and just like we see this differently. But it's very important in the communication. One of the key things about communication is I need to see this from your perspective. Mm-hmm. And so, especially when you're in the kind of the throes of the emotion of a conflict, that's hard to do, because all you see oftentimes all you see is red. You're just angry about this. But to step back and, you know, it's not good to communicate when you're angry, to step back and say, okay, let me cool off and then we'll talk about it. And let me see it from your perspective, because I sure don't see it from your perspective. And then let me share my perspective of what I see that you obviously don't see. Mm-hmm. And it was Damon Schick told me one time, he said, you know, when you counsel a couple, he's got his perspective, she's got her perspective. The truth is typically in the middle. Mm-hmm. The unadulterated truth. Not that he's seeing it falsely. He's just seeing it from his perspective. She's seeing it from her perspective. And the actual what is really going on is a little bit on her side and a little bit on his side. Truth is typically in the middle. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm sitting across the table from my beautiful wife, Debbie, and we're talking about what to do when you don't agree in marriage, in a business relationship with a partner, and you don't agree, and it's not just a minor thing. You know, we're not talking about what sodas to put in the soda machine. We're talking about things that matter and things that are substantial. You know, if they're small and inconsequential, you just let them go. But if they're not, you have to work through that. So this is a great topic. And so I invite you to continue to listen. We'll be back from the break in 3 minutes.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about what to do when you don't agree in marriage or in some kind of interpersonal relationship. You're working closely with somebody and you reach this impasse, which seems like an unresolvable conflict. How do you deal with the quote-unquote unresolvable conflicts? Do you just throw a sheet on it? Do you sweep it under the rug? Do you just say, okay, we're going to agree to disagree? Because, you know, Paul had a conflict with Barnabas in Acts chapter 15, and it had to do with John Mark, and it had to do with their second missionary journey, and it wasn't something they could just say, okay, we'll agree to disagree, because Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul said no, and there was such a sharp disagreement between the two of them that they parted ways, and they said, this is a deal breaker. And so, now, missionary teams are not married to one another, but when you get married, it's until death do you part. There's no clause that says unless you hit an unresolvable conflict, and then you can divorce, and God's okay with that. Now, adultery drops a bomb in the marriage, and that's a difficult issue. But we're talking about homeschooling versus public schooling. We're talking about how to spend money. We're talking about moving, not moving, taking this job.
Where to spend your holidays.
Yeah, where, you know, it can be something that's really, really huge, or something that's not as huge but still important. And where to spend holidays are important. That can cause a lot of fights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if somebody digs in his heels or her heels, that can be a problem. And right. So, Deb, you were... talking about the perspective issue.
Right. We finished that last segment talking about the whole idea of perspective, and I still vividly remember seeing someone illustrate this in such a vivid way. And they held up a coffee cup, and they were saying, okay, let help me describe this coffee cup. Okay, it's white, it has different colors of polka dots on it, and everyone was in complete agreement on what the coffee cup looked like. But then the speaker asked this question, okay, which side of the coffee cup is the handle on? So the people looking at the stage looked at it and they were like, oh, it's on the left side. And the speaker says, nope, I'm holding it right here. I'm looking at it. It's on the right side. No, it's on the left, because it was all perspective. And neither one of them were wrong, because from their vantage point, it was on the side that they said it was on. But there was just a stark disagreement between the two, because they... each one knew that they were right based on their perspective. Mm-hmm. And so it is so important, you know, Jeff, you talked about that when you are in a conflict, it's imperative for you to not just stay on your side of the cup, so to speak, but to walk around to the other side of the cup and try and see it from the other person's perspective.
Yeah, and you had mentioned at the break, you know, praying is critical.
Critical.
You have to pray about that. Pray before you sit down to talk. Pray after you sit down to talk. Pray during, silently, you know, God, give me wisdom. Help me to see this from your perspective. Help me to understand my spouse and why they're so, you know, adamant about their position. And,
well, and to put a guard on your tongue, because right. Especially if you have very quick comebacks. and I'm like that. I mean, I've teased this to you several times, but it's still the truth. Anytime I can keep my mouth shut, it's because I've experienced more spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. That's important that we don't say things knee-jerk, that we keep a guard over our mouth, because once words are out there, they are out there. They cannot be reeled back in. They can be forgiven, but they're rarely ever forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be very, very careful, particularly when emotions are running high, that we really make sure we put a guard on our mouth.
Well, and then you always have to think the best about the other person you're in conflict with. It's easy to think this person's evil. This mm-hmm. person is deceived by the devil. Mm-hmm. This person has ulterior motives.
Or ill will, just uh-huh. ill will towards
me. They're trying
me.
To hurt me or whatever. That makes you that much more defensive. Now, in marriage, hopefully you don't think my spouse is working to try and hurt me. But in some marriages, that is the case, and the spouse can be very vindictive. You know, the thing about when bitterness sets into a marriage, bitterness always comes, if you trace it back, where did this come from? It came from some hurt. Something happened that hurt the person's feelings, and they didn't process that correctly. They didn't bring that to the Lord. They didn't get that right with God and with the person that hurt them. They didn't forgive. They held on to it. And that hurt turns to unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness. And when bitterness sets in, then you see that person as your enemy and not as your teammate.
Well, and I think there are productive ways to try and help your spouse see your perspective. I remember early on, and I think we've probably shared this on air before, but after Jill was born, our oldest daughter, your life had not really changed much. You were still going to work. You were still going and playing basketball with your buddies. My life had been turned upside down because of this precious little 7-pound human that came into our home. And I started getting just really not only hurt, but resentful of the fact that your life had not changed mm-hmm. and mine had so much. And I felt you were very...
My life makes your life possible.
But I thought you did not see how much, you didn't appreciate how much my life had changed. Anywho, and I talked to you about it several different times and nothing changed. You had no concept of why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And we just... It was definitely unresolved. And so I just prayed and prayed because I knew it's like, I don't want to get bitter about this, but I found myself feeling on the inside like I was starting to get bitter about it. And so I remember one day I just sat you down and I just gave you an illustration of something that I thought you could relate to help you understand what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share that?
No, you can't.
Okay. I basically just said, you know, Jeff, how would you feel if all your basketball buddies ask you to, they were all playing and they didn't ask you to play? And you were just dumbfounded. You're like, well, why on earth would they not ask me to play? I said, but let's just assume that they didn't. And you could actually see them outside playing, but they didn't ask you to play. How would that make you feel? And you said, well, it would hurt my feelings so bad, you uh-huh. know, because I think, why don't they want me to be a part of that?
Right.
And, you know, and I said, yeah, you know, because that's how I was feeling. Like you were choosing all these other things other than me.
Yeah. When you told me that, then the light came on. I saw it from your perspective, but immediately my heart broke because I was like, well, I would never want to do that to somebody. And then I'm thinking, I'm doing that to you. I didn't know I was doing it to you.
Right.
Because I didn't see it. I just thought you were being demanding
or emotional or whatever.
Yeah. And you're begrudging me the opportunity to play for an hour
across
the street.
And in your defense, you would have thought I was being controlling because I struggled with that. Right? I mean, so that was a problem within me in early in our marriage that I really did struggle with that a lot. And so, you know, I could see how you would think that. And so instead of that making me really upset that you thought I was being controlling, I was like, okay, I've got to pray and just ask the Lord to give me some wisdom and discernment to know, I'm going to broach this topic one more time. Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to go about approaching it so that he can see this from my perspective. And God was gracious, and he gave me that, because I don't think I have the wherewithal to have come up with that on my own. But it did open your eyes to my perspective.
Well, I think something that's important, we need to always remember this. Everybody is subject to blind spots.
Right.
You know, just like when you're driving in a car, most cars, although the newer cars today try and really help prevent this, but we all know about blind spots, mm-hmm. because a car can be in your blind spot. You look in your rearview mirror, you don't see anything, and if you don't turn your head and really look, you can turn into a car not knowing you're doing that. So typically when two people are in the car, you're like, hey, can I get over? And the other person looks for you. And so it's important to have somebody that can point out your blind spots. Now, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David prays that God would show him his blind spots. And he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful, evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a great prayer to pray. God, I don't want to have blind spots. I don't want to be holding on to something that is wrong, thinking it is right, thinking I'm in the right. You know, I don't think anybody wants to live in the wrong. No Christian wants to, I want to live in rebellion. I want to live in holding on to a false God and walking in the darkness and deceiving myself that I'm in the light. We want to know if we're messing up so we can get it right. And but sometimes we can be blinded to the reality of what is going on. As I was in that illustration about me playing basketball, my life not really changing when we had our first child. And so it took that. Mm-hmm. And once I saw it, then I was very like, what can I do to make this work for both of us?
And I think that's an important thing to bring up, Jeff, is that it was not about you playing basketball. Mm-hmm. That was not the issue. The issue was that I felt you were choosing to do all these other things over spending time with me. Mm-hmm. And I was lonely, and I wanted your companionship, and I felt that I wasn't getting that. I didn't feel cherished. I didn't feel special. That was at the core of the issue. The basketball was simply a branch on the root tree.
Right.
And so I think that's another important element to really focus in on, is that when you are having a conflict, oftentimes, if not every time, it's not one single thing. Those are symptoms.
Right.
You have to get to the cause and to the root of what is really happening, and to what it's really about. And to remember that coming to some kind of understanding is more important than always having to win the argument.
Right.
To always be right. You know, I grew up in a home, and I saw this just illustrated over and over, because my mom was one that she just could not admit that she was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so you did get to where it's like, okay, I'm not even going to bring this up, because I know this is only going to make things worse. Nothing is going to be resolved, because she can never take responsibility for her part of anything. Even if her part of the problem was 1%, she was unwilling to budge and take responsibility, mm-hmm. for that 1%. And so it's really hard to deal with people like that, whether they're in your family or whether you're working with them or whatever it is. It's really hard when both parties aren't willing to take their part of the responsibility in terms of getting things resolved.
Well, and when you do take responsibility, which is key, I don't see how you can walk with God unless you're going to be soft and tenderhearted and teachable and take you have to take responsibility for your actions, attitudes, actions, and bring those before the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned. When Nathan the prophet came to David and he called him out on his sin with Bathsheba, David responded by saying, I have sinned. He didn't try and justify it. He didn't try and, somehow make the case that, no, he was entitled to do that. He didn't have Nathan killed. How dare you, confront me on this? Who are you? I'm the king of Israel. He could have done that. He could have called for his attendants and kill him in my presence. You know, that's what Saul would have done. He didn't do that. He said, I have sinned. He received that as a rebuke from the Lord, and he responded to it. Now, that created problems for David and his family because there are consequences to sin. But God said, the Lord has forgiven your sin, or through Nathan the prophet, the Lord has forgiven your sin. You shall not die. I think if David had responded with rebelliousness and an attitude of, I'm not given an inch here, God may have killed him because he said that.
Well, and I think too, particularly in marriage, if you are not willing to take ownership of your part of the problem, you have really blocked any ability to have deep intimacy in your marriage. And so if you're longing to have that deep, intimate, close relationship with someone, you have to be able to have the give and take. You have to be able to admit fault, to forgive, to seek forgiveness, to grant forgiveness, to take responsibility. You have to be able to do all those things because it shuts down the ability to be close to someone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and lastly, as you work this out with your partner, you look for creative ways to find a compromise and to honor your spouse's position. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, you know, we may not agree on the homeschooling versus public schooling. Maybe we can do a hybrid. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can find another school that I would feel more comfortable about, you know, if the husband is pro-homeschooling. Maybe we could get in a co-op where there are other teachers and other moms that are involved, and so it's not just falling on mom's shoulders. I mean, that can be daunting for a mother. I'm trying to raise these kids, and now I have to teach them at school. I get no break.
Right.
And so that can be very, very difficult. But just pray through, Lord, what kind of a compromise can we find? Now, with Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, the compromise was we need to go our separate ways. This is a deal breaker for us, and we're going to do better apart. And you may hit that with a business relationship. It's like that we're not going to be able to work this out. Mm-hmm. And so let's just, as Abraham did with Lot, let's agree to disagree and still stay friends, but we're not going to be able to stay together. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Debbie and I have been talking about when you don't agree in marriage. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Let me remind you about the campaign going on right now with at American Family Association, American Family Radio, and that's the campaign with Preborn. What is Preborn? Preborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the United States. And when you let a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life is doubled. And so since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing these life-saving ultrasounds. So your sponsorship provides mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All these services are provided free of charge for up to 2 years of assistance. So how can you get involved? Well, we're asking you to give a gift of $28 that provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, or a gift of $140 that provides five free ultrasound sessions reaching five women with a message of life. And so perhaps you could do that. Our goal is to help save 4,500 babies in this campaign. So please consider a gift of any size. It all makes a difference. And to give, you can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or just go online to afr.net.
Can I put in a plug real quick for the American Family Association magazine that comes out?
The Stand?
The Stand. This latest issue is all about those topics, about the value of life, infertility, different creative options that people have in terms of IVF and all these other things. It's just a great issue, this last one. So if you are not engaged in getting that magazine, go online to American Family Association and look into that, because it is just a fabulous resource. Helps keep you up to date on current issues that are going on, as well as it'll zoom in on particular topics, like this month's is on the
issue of life.
Yeah,
it is a great magazine. I really, I remember the first time I got the Stand magazine, and it, you know, you get magazines and stuff like that from different ministries, and I thought, well, I'll just kind of flip through it, and I found myself saying, that's a great article.
Yes.
This is a great piece. I didn't know that. I didn't know this. And so it does a really good job with some additions. They really drill down, like the one on mm-hmm. sanctity of life,
yes.
and others give you a broad perspective of what's going on in the culture, but very, very good stuff. So the Stand magazine, you can get that online, or you can get that sent to you, and you can find out more. Just go to afr.net. AFR or AFA? Randy,
probably
which
AFA.
One?
Yeah,
AFA. AFA.net. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about when couples have unresolvable marriage conflicts. What do you do when you disagree? I laughed when I got a text at the break from my good friend Roger Javens, and he said to me, he goes, yeah, maybe if you had loved Debbie more back then, you would have stayed at home that day instead of playing basketball with me and breaking my nose on Dick Thacker's driveway. And so that brought me back to the time that, and Roger was on my team, I think. I went up to block a shot, and when I did, I accidentally elbowed him right in the nose, and it broke his nose, and yeah, I should have stayed home that day. Roger would have appreciated it for sure.
And I would have too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Michael on the line from Georgia. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Glad to hear the Debbers back with you. Hey, you know, you're talking about conflicts in marriage. Uh-huh. I was blessed with my wife that we communicated honestly our secrets and disagreements and resolved them before we said I do. And we never had a cross word or a cold shoulder between us.
Wow.
That's good. How long have you been married, Michael?
Well, she passed away. It was 3 years and 6 months to the day. But the Lord was our cornerstone for the foundation of our marriage, and I tell you, I would never do it another way.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. But that's a good word.
You know, it's hard to interrogator short of waterboarding her, but laying all my cards on the table at the same time and just accepting it. Well, either she buys it or not, but this is total honesty.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I believe in Christian marriage wholly. And even though I'm a widower now, I still feel the Lord's with me. I don't know if he has any woman for me on while the rest of my time on earth, but I'm okay with that because I can always look back and say, wow. And, you know, when younger people come up to you and say, wow, we hope we have a marriage like you, and we weren't even married yet.
That's a blessing for sure. Well, Michael, thank you for that. I'm so sorry about your wife passing away, and but thank you for mentioning that, because that is really critical. So, Debbie, I've done sermons and written booklets on before you say I do,
right,
which is really, really critical. Goes along with what Michael is saying. You have to get those big issues. You have to talk about that before you get married, because some of those can be a deal breaker. Children or no children. You don't wait until after you get married. Well, I thought you wanted kids. No, I don't want kids. Well, I do. I wouldn't have married you had I known that. Mm-hmm. Now, you have said before in the past that I pulled a fast one on you when I told you the Lord called me in the ministry.
Yes.
And you didn't want that.
That's correct.
And
yeah,
but I didn't.
That was a tough one.
I didn't know at the time that God was going to call me in the ministry.
Right. And, yeah, so it wasn't a bait and switch.
No. But it was a big hurdle.
Huge.
And God really had to do a work in your heart when I told you, hey, the Lord's called me in the ministry.
Right.
Because your dad was a pastor, and you lived that life, and it was very, very difficult. Your dad was always gone, and we had three girls, and you're like, I don't want that for me or for them. Mm-hmm. I know what this life is like. You don't.
Right.
You know, I remember your dad used to always tell me, it's not what you see on Sunday. What
right.
you see on Sunday is a sliver of the ministry. That's not what goes on, you know, during the week.
Right.
And, you know, so.
How true that is.
Yeah.
Well, you've learned that through the school of hard knocks.
The old joke is that I'd love to be a pastor. You work 1 hour a week.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay. Somebody asked me the other day, how long does it take to prepare a sermon? And I said, probably 10 to 12 hours. So that 1 hour that you see has 10, 12, 15 hours invested in it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I want to piggyback on going back to something that Michael talked about, and it is so important. We've talked about it before, your choice. The choice that you make, short of your salvation experience and choosing to surrender your life to the Lord, your decision on who you're going to spend the rest of your life with is the most important choice that you will ever make in your life. And so many people go into it so flippantly. So they haven't done their research. They haven't spent enough time together talking about critical issues and where they stand on it and what their belief systems are and what their rib issues are, what their spine issues are, meaning mm-hmm. I'm not bending on this particular topic. And so it's just so important that you make a wise choice, because once the choice has been made, it's been made.
Right.
You know, right? Once you say I do, it's done. And
I do is forever.
Right.
Or for a lifetime.
Right.
You know, because that's part of the vow. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be a true and faithful husband as long as we both shall live, a true and faithful wife as long as we both shall live. So help me God. And so, yeah, I tell couples, in some weddings I've done, I've had them repeat after me, divorce is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
You take that word, you know, we just said we're never even going to use that word. That's mm-hmm. not an option. We burned that ship. It's not in there in the harbor. There's not the ship of divorce in the harbor. If things get tough, then I'm bailing out. Mm-hmm. Now that we're working it out. We
right.
don't bail out.
Well, and I think there are times when, you know, just like with Paul and Barnabas, there are things that are deal breakers. And, you know, you touched on that on the very first segment. You know, when there's infidelity in the marriage, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a deal breaker, but that can be a deal breaker. Abuse can be a deal breaker. And so, you know, I think for so long within Christian circles, it was just so people were so adamant, and there was such shame cast upon people who go through just tragic, horrific divorces, because no one, like you've said before, no one gets married thinking, okay, I'm just going to divorce this person in a few months. You know, I mean, it is a brutal emotional thing to walk through if you've gone through it yourself, or if you've watched someone that you love have to walk through
it's
divorce.
Awful.
It is absolutely horrible, which further illustrates why God hates it so much. He
right.
sees the pain and the hurt that it causes. But there are situations in which there are not ways to bridge the gap. There are not ways that you can make things work. And so that's why it goes back to do your research and make a wise choice.
Right. Yeah, I remember talking to a guy one time, and Michael, I really appreciate the call. The phone number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to take your call. Phone lines are open. But I remember talking to a young man, and he told me that he wanted to marry this girl. And I said to him, I said, that's the girl you told me about that you've been having so many problems with. You guys get along like a cobra and a mongoose, and you want to marry her? Well, I love her. And I said, well, okay, but you have major issues with her. And, you know, I told him, I said, isn't this the girl that got mad at you and went after your truck with a hammer? And he was like, yeah, she was pretty angry. I was like, yeah, I would say so. And but I love her. And I said, okay, well, here's the thing. You know, think about it like buying a car. You're getting ready to buy a car that's been through a flood. It's gotten flooded out. It's got some major engine damage. And so you're going to have to take, if you marry this girl, you're going to have to take her to the shop a lot, because she's got some really deep-seated issues, anger issues, and other things. And okay, well, I love her. And they were married like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it ended in divorce. And I was, what a shock. You know, I mean, that's like, yeah, I knew it was going to do that, because you were very unwise. You blew past all the
red flags,
and you just said, I want to do this. And, you know, it's a sign of immaturity. I want what I want when I want it. And don't tell me to wait. Don't tell me to analyze things. Don't tell me to pray about it. I'm just going to do this. Well, you can do that if you want, but you're going to pay a price for that, because you're going to make a very unwise decision. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Because if you do that and lean on your own understanding and not trusting God and not waiting for His timing and His person, you're going to get ahead of the Lord, and you're going to find yourself in serious trouble.
Well, I think, too, another important thing to bring up is this. Just because you have some conflict with your spouse does not mean you've made a bad choice.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's important to know. It does not mean, oh, I've really messed up and now I'm just stuck for the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, God works miracles, and He brings about resolution, and He brings healing, and He brings restoration. He brings intimacy. He brings love. He brings all those things to the table in your marriage. And so it's the couples that come to us for counseling, and Chris has alluded to this before, our staff counselor, he has alluded to this one. He's been on the program with you, but it's the couples that come into the counseling office and that are no longer fighting at all that you think, uh-oh, this is not good, because they just are completely dead to each other.
Right.
It's when there is the conflict and there is arguing and there is back and forth. It's like, okay, we can work with this. Their feelings are still intense for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's important to remember. Okay, if you're on a patch in your marriage that seems to be rocky right now, it's not necessarily the marriage. It's the patch of road that you're
mm-hmm.
on.
Right. Yeah. And so you trust the Lord and you dig into the Lord and you press in, and Lord, show me and help me to see things from your perspective. You know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. And so we pray in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so God promises, I will give you wisdom if you ask me, but let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways? So when we ask God, we believe that he will give it to us. And guess what? He does, because God always keeps his word. He is faithful and true. Well, what do you do when you don't agree in marriage, when couples have a seemingly unresolvable conflict? You sit down and talk and
pray,
and you ask God to help you see it from the other person's perspective, and you think the best about your spouse. You don't assign evil, nefarious motives, and you trust the Lord to bring about resolution. And when you do that, you'll find that God will come through, because God is faithful and true. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm sorry, Ron, that we ran out of time. We only have about 15 seconds to go, but please call back or email me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. I'd love to take your call and answer your question or hear your comment, whatever it might be. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.